This podcast is proudly produced and presented by the Zoomer Podcast Network, home of great podcasts like Marilyn Lightstone Reads, Idea City on the Air, and The Garden Show. You're listening to an exclusive podcast of The Garden Show with Charlie Dobbin, heard every Saturday morning at 9 on Zoomer Radio, the new AM 740. Welcome, friend, to our weekly garden party. We hope you brought along your questions because it's time to dish the dirt. On The Garden Show with Charlie Dobbin, exclusively on Zoomer Radio.
And good morning, one and all. Frank Proctor, sous chef of the garden here in the studio at the Zoomerplex in Liberty Village. And way off to the east, and I mean way off to the east, is Charlie Dobbin online from her home in Prince Edward County. Good morning, Charlie.
Good morning, Frankie. Merry Christmas.
Yeah, and the same to you. Happy Boxing Day, although this is a Boxing Day like no other, huh?
Meaning what?
Well, folks aren't traveling to the stores.
No,
very few people will be doing any shopping, except maybe to do some curbside pickup stuff, but no, you know, with the lockdown.
I know, well, but lots of online. I'm sure the online is going crazy.
You betcha.
Betcha. People do like to shop on Boxing Day, it seems.
Well, I must admit, I was coming down the DVP earlier this morning, mm-hmm. about 7 o'clock, and I was of two minds. One, I wanted to swear at the guys ahead of me, and the other, that because I got behind the snowplows all the way from about Newmarket right down to the 401.
That's a slow trip.
Oh, man, I want to tell you. But, you know, these guys are out there the dead of night to make sure that we can get from point A to point B safely. So shut my mouth.
Exactly. And it's better to go slow and you get a nice clean road when you're going that slow. But
exactly.
You obviously had left yourself plenty of time to get to the studio.
Yeah. Gee, I wish I could get a good shot. Maybe I can. They're my socks. Shirley bought me some crazy socks. These have got reindeer on them. And I've got some other ones. Ho, ho, ho. Things and about four pair of real dandy socks.
Right. Well, that was what I texted you. Right. It was okay. I'll be in my studio, my home studio, in my pajamas while you're in the Zoomerplex studio in your wacky socks.
That's right. Yeah. Okay. What now? As we're approaching the end of the year, which is can't happen fast enough for most of us. What are we looking forward to as far as gardening is concerned, Charlie?
Well, you know what I got for Christmas?
What?
A whole bunch of bird seed.
Oh, really?
So at this time of year, and I understand Toronto area and certainly where you live got a good dump of snow. So you had a white Christmas, right?
You bet.
Well, we had a green Christmas here. Very green. And then it did cool off as the day went on and it did drift some snow out last night. So I'm looking at not pure white, but I'm looking at a dusting of white out my window now, which is great.
Yeah.
So it is the time to be certainly thinking about the birds because there's not a lot for them to eat at this time of year. You know, there's some dried up fruits and things still hanging on the odd crab apple, and they'll get to that eventually. There's some grains on some of the grasses and the weeds. Mm-hmm. There's seeds and stuff there. But otherwise, there's no bugs, obviously, for them to eat. So we just have to be thinking about that, you know, keeping our little feathered friends happy and full and energized, as particularly as we might get into some really cold weather.
You bet. Yeah, we got about total now from what fell last night, about 6 inches of snow.
At our place.
Yeah, and it's beautiful. Oh,
how was you getting your driveway? Did somebody plow it for you?
Bless his heart, the chap who lives at the front of the property, Edgar, is a snow plow operator.
Perfect.
Yeah, lucky old me, huh? And he came, I don't know what time overnight, because he'd been out doing parking lots and all that sort of thing. But at some point in time, I got up, looked up, and my gosh, he's been there and gone. So,
way to pick your neighbor.
You got it.
Well done.
You're darn right, yeah. Listen, I better give the phone numbers here.
I was going to say, I think that's one of your jobs you haven't done yet.
That's exactly right. I'm failing badly here. Okay. In Toronto, my friends, give a call if you'd like to ask a question of Charlie, and she'd sure appreciate that, as I would. Here's the number, 416-360 1-866-740. And, of course, anywhere in the province, it is toll-free, 1-866-740-4740. And a little mantra goes, call early, call often. One question per call, if you would. Oh, yeah, and if you're a first-time caller, let Carlos, our operator, know, because just before you get to the airwaves, you're going to hear that. Yeah. Wow.
Sounds very Christmassy.
It did, you know. Clarence. In fact, I saw Miracle on 34th Street not too long ago. That was a dead. Well, no. Was it Miracle on 34th? Or no, wait. Oh, the one with Jimmy Stewart. Oh, gee whiz. I can't.
Harvey. No.
No. Harvey. No. Not so much.
No. No.
Well, somebody will call. What show am I trying to think of? Oh, Mary, you know, running down the street. And Clarence, the angel. Anyway.
Giving wings.
Hey, you know what? I've gone past the point when we should be taking a first break. So shut up,
Frank.
Right. And, let's give a break here to some of our fine sponsors, and then we'll come back and maybe deal with an email or hopefully a caller or two as well here on The Garden Show from Zoomer Radio.
Daffodils and daisies, bluebells and begonias, forsythia and foxgloves, marigolds, magnolia, lavender and lupins, dahlias, delphiniums, stocks, fox, hollyhocks, tulips and sweet williams.
You've picked the right place for everything floral. This is The Garden Show with Charlie Dobbin, exclusively on Zoomer Radio.
Well, Charlie, it's a very quiet morning on the phone lines here, so I'll remind folks once again of our phone numbers, 416-360-0740, and anywhere in the province, of course, toll-free, 1-866-740-4740. We do have an email we want to deal with here, maybe, though.
Yeah, I just want to tell you something, Frank.
Sure, yeah.
So, while I'm on the phone, I thought, why don't I just bring up the AM 740 website and I can see you. I mean, there's a delay. Your voice doesn't match your face.
But it doesn't.
Not on the phone anyway.
I've been told that before.
So it looks good. You look really good. Show me your socks.
Oh, yeah.
Of course, I won't see them for a minute or so. But yeah, put your socks up on the counter there on the table. That's cool.
Hey,
yeah.
Pretty cool.
Pretty cool. Very nice.
Darn
I love it.
Right. No.
Yeah, it's a pretty good feed, actually. Those cameras are very clear. Like I'm getting a good. Yeah, you look great.
All righty. Here's an email we can deal with.
Okay.
Well, folks are calling in now, which is good news. Irene Smith says, hi, Charlie and Frank. I'm a longtime listener. Love your show. Learn something with every show. My jade is very old, approximately 35 years. The leaves closer to the soil have white spots on them that don't seem to rub away with a soft cloth. Is this a fungus, and how do I treat it?
Mm-hmm.
Irene Smith. Hmm.
Right. So, Irene, I was thinking about this. There's really, jades are pretty good little plants, pretty tough, pretty hard to kill. The most common way we kill jades is with too much water. But Irene's kept it alive for 35 years. She's probably got a pretty good handle on not overwatering her jade. But there are sort of three things that might cause white spots on jade plants. So number one would be powdery mildew. And I think Irene is maybe aware of that, which is why she tried to rub off with the soft cloth, the white spots, and they didn't rub off. So it's probably not powdery mildew, because the mildew tends to be very superficial and you can usually sort of wipe it off with your fingers or your thumb. Of course, the way to avoid mildew on any plants is avoid overwatering, so only water when really dry, and then do what you can to increase air circulation around plants. That just means maybe a simple table fan running air through and across the plants, keeping the air moving. Because as plants get older, they often get denser, so that they're, you know, just that many more leaves and that much less air, less sun penetrating through, particularly to the bottom of the plant. The other thing would be to try is get that soft cloth out again, moisten it a bit, and then try rubbing those white spots. And they may come off with a moist cloth. And if they do, then we know we've got some salt excretions. So why would you have salt excretion, like salt coming out of the leaves of plants? Well, because our tap water has minerals in it. Mm-hmm. Our fertilizer, of course, is a salt. So over a period of time, the salt concentration can build up to the point where the salt precipitates out of solution. So the water solution is absorbed through the roots of the plant up into the plant. And then because we don't water very often with jades, it is possible that that, again, there's a precipitation of the salt. As the water is being used by the plant, the salt gets left behind if that's not being used. And then it'll actually literally come right through the leaves and be a bit of a white, not so much cakey, but like a white layer mm-hmm. on the surface. And that's not that unusual with jade plants. The other thing is there are a couple of insects which are white. One is mealybug. The other is scale. But either would typically wipe off the scale. You tend to have to pick it off with your fingernail. But so again, just go back, look closely, try a moist cloth. Look, really, if it is an insect, send me another note and we'll talk about how to deal with insects on jades. But it probably isn't that. But it's worth following up for sure.
Okay, good. Now, I sent you a photo of a lovely plant that mm-hmm. Peter and Ann Groskirth, our neighbors out there, had delivered to us. And a mm-hmm. beautiful plant. You got the picture, I'm sure.
I did.
Uh-huh.
Gorgeous.
And, okay, the best treatment to keep that thing, as you know, I'm an expert knocking them off, but if you could help me keep it alive and well, that'd be great.
Well, you are going to have to keep that in a sunny spot.
Ah, really? Okay.
Have you got some sunshine somewhere?
Yeah, we do. And, you know, as I come to think of it, it's not sitting in a sunny spot as I left the house this morning. And it was right on a coffee table, so we got to move it near a window.
I know, that's yep. so classic. It is. It's what we would call a gift planter. So yeah. It's a beautiful basket filled up with a real melange of different plants. There's a bow and all kinds of prettiness in it. Now, they have chosen some plants that are like a little Diefenbachia. There's mm-hmm. something called a little frosty fern in there. There's an African violet. Those are plants that don't need to be in direct sunlight, but they do want to be in a fairly bright spot. And then looking more closely, it looks like there's a little tiny palm in there and a poinsettia. So it's a really pretty planter. Now, those, again, brighter is better when it comes to those plants. So for now, I would get it. If you can get it within a few feet of a window, no, it doesn't have to be right in the window because it does not want cold drafts. Poinsettias particularly mm-hmm. want room temperature. So keep it, you know, don't let it touch the glass. And if it's a drafty spot, take it somewhere else.
Okay.
So bright, no drafts, no hot drafts, no cold drafts. And you're going to have to feel the soil. Now, there's moss over the surface of the soil because mm-hmm. it's a beautifully made planter. So you've got to get your little fingers in under that moss, feel the soil, water when it feels dry. And you're going to water fairly lightly, I would say. You know, it might be maybe a half a cup, maybe as much as a cup of water when you water.
Oh, okay.
And then come spring, and Shirley will be good with this, she'll take it outside, put it on the picnic table, lay it, like tip it over, and pull all those plants out and apart. Because they ultimately can't stay together.
Ah.
They look great when they come, but it just doesn't work in the long run. There'll be one is going to take over, one is going to die. Like, it's just going to not ultimately look so great.
So help Mother Nature along, in other words.
Yeah, and give each of those plants mm-hmm. its own little pot, and then you'll just have to decide what you want to do with those different plants. Whether you're, you know, things like African violets, we don't leave them out in the summer, but many of us will leave a poinsettia out in the summer in a shady spot, and it grows into quite a green, bushy plant, and then in it comes for next Christmas.
Excellent. Now, we have to take another little break here, but we're going to come back to greet a first-time caller on the show. So hang in for that, Charlie. We will be back very shortly with Charlie Dobbin on The Garden Show from Zoomer Radio.
Don't change stations just because the weather changes. Garden tips and advice all year round. This is The Garden Show with Charlie Dobbin, exclusively on Zoomer Radio.
Well, Charlie, as I mentioned, we do have someone waiting online, Crystal mm-hmm. by name, who is a first-time caller.
Great.
There you go. Hey, Crystal, welcome to the show.
Thank you very much.
Good morning.
Nice to take my call. Good morning, Charlie.
And where are you calling from, Crystal?
From Toronto.
Okay, good stuff. So what's going on?
I have an orchid. My very first one, my daughter gave me at Valentine's Day.
Mm-hmm.
And it stayed blooming for quite a few months, and then they slowly started dying mm-hmm. off.
Mm-hmm.
Now, my question is, I've had it for a while now, and it doesn't look like it's doing anything. I don't know if it's gone dormant, or how do I get it going again to bloom another orchid?
Okay, so how many green leaves does it have on it, roughly?
Right now, I'm looking at it. It's got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. There's a little one starting to grow from the top.
Okay. It's all good. That's good. That sounds just about right. So what you would do, I assume you've got it in a spot where it's getting, it's a fairly bright spot, but it doesn't need direct sunlight.
That's correct. I have a very big living room window that's very bright. So I have it off to the side, but it still gets light.
Perfect. And it sounds like you're doing a good job watering it, because otherwise you wouldn't have as many leaves on it. And of course, when the flower finished from the Valentine's Day arrival, and there was a big flower stem, did you actually cut away that stem, or is it still standing?
Yeah, no, I did, because it was dried out.
Yeah, good. Yeah, because once it's completely brown, it'll turn black. Yeah, exactly. Pair of scissors, get rid of that. All I would do right now is keep an eye on it. It is due to bloom right about now. What you can do to kind of kickstart it, if you want, is get a hold of some orchid fertilizer and then follow the instructions on whatever the fertilizer package says. And when you're watering, you'll water with some fertilizer. And like I say, that will kickstart another flower stem emerging. And even if you look right now, the flower comes from below the leaves. Like, you'll just get this little nub of green starts to grow out and then up. And then your job is to use the little clothespins that probably were part of the original flower stem and train the stem to go up, because they do tend to go a bit sideways and get all kind of gangly looking. So just when you do start to see a flower stem, just keep an eye on it, train it up, and then within a week or so, it will start to open flowers. And everything being as it will, it'll be perfect for another Valentine's Day.
Oh, great. Another question is, you know how they make those roots that look like snakes or worms, and they start coming out of the pot, and that can, is it advisable to cut those?
Don't. The plant grows them for a reason. Keep in mind that orchids originally, and to this day, are found above ground. Like, they don't actually grow in soil, which is why if you look, there's probably just a bit of moss in the pot or a bit of bark in the pot, because they are plants that are called epiphytes. So they live up in branches of trees and little cracks and crannies where they start to grow. And those roots are actually, because they have gas exchange through the roots. So they're taking various sundry things from the air and exchanging gases through those roots. So when they're happy and healthy, they're green, the tip will be silver, and that's exactly what you want, and never, ever cut them off, unless for some reason they get all wrinkled and dried up and, you know.
So the dried ones you can cut. The way I take care of this watering is I still do the original instruction that it came with, which was once a week, fill the actual ceramic pot with a little bit of water, like a half away, and then just immerse the liner with the flower in it and leave it there for 15 minutes.
Yep, perfect. Sounds fine. And then, yeah, exactly. Take it out, let it drain, and get it back into its ceramic pot.
Okay, so if I do the fertilizer, would I put it in that actual ceramic pot while I was soaking it for 15 minutes?
Do you have any other houseplants?
I have lots of houseplants.
Okay, so what you would do is, what I would do is, I get a pail and I mix up the fertilizer in the pail, and then the orchid gets what it needs in terms of, you know, a cup or two of water, and then I use whatever's left in the pail to water the rest of my plants.
Oh, okay, perfect.
Okay.
Great stuff.
Well, thank you very, very much. I listen to your show every Saturday.
Well, bless your heart. You've got very good taste, Crystal.
You do. Thank you.
The Zoomer is in my car, in my house.
Hey, that's great.
I've got my girls hooked onto it, too. So.
Nice.
Good stuff.
Thank you very much, and I'd like to wish everybody a very happy new year.
Yeah,
thank you very much.
You
take that to heart, too. Thanks so much.
Thank you.
All righty. Have a great weekend, and all the very best in the new year, too.
Frankie, where was Patrolman Proctor on that call?
Well, I know, but I looked at the lines, and there are no other calls online, so I thought, let her go.
Good idea.
Because... it's just going to be a slow day as far as phone calls are concerned.
I have a suggestion.
Yeah.
Have you ever heard of boxwood, the plant? Boxwood.
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah, it's a very popular plant. I bet you there's more boxwood grown in Ontario than probably any other plant, because there's just like fields and fields and farms full of people growing boxwood for the purposes of ornamental reasons, right? People make little tiny sort of miniature hedges out of them. They sculpt them into shapes, pyramidal shapes, round shapes. They're super popular plant. But the problem with boxwood is that there's a couple of diseases, insects, et cetera, real problems that have happened probably as a result of the quantity of boxwood that's being grown. So I have a suggestion. I have a boxwood substitute. So if anybody's frustrated with boxwood but loves the look, the little shiny green evergreen leaves and the you know, sort of the ease of pruning and fun of having it, I'm going to make a suggestion, and everybody should write this down, because boxwood does need a replacement. It doesn't shouldn't be used in the quantity. We need biodiversity, I think is what I'm trying to get at. So, believe it or not, a boxwood replacement, for anybody who's interested, is an ilex, I-L-E-X. Ilex is Latin for holly.
Oh, okay.
So when we think of holly, we think of the Christmas holly, right?
Yeah,
the little spiky leaves and the red berries. Well, this particular ilex I'm talking about is not like that at all. It looks exactly like a boxwood to most people. So it's got round or oval leaves. They're very small. They're very shiny. And this particular ilex I'm talking about is also native to North America. So it's a wonderful plant that way. The one I planted here at my place is hardier than the average boxwood. It's hardy to zone 3. All of the other boxwoods or boxes are hardy to zone 5. So a zone 3 plant is hardier. And it does get little white flowers. It's dwarf. It's compact. So Ilex glabra. And then the cultivar is compacta. So C-O-M-P-A-C-T-A. And you're going to say, where do I get that plant?
Where do you get that plant?
Where do you get that plant? I bought it from a wholesale nursery. So the average person would not be able to buy it from a wholesale nursery, but it is grown by a company called NVK out of Waterdown. And so if you're anywhere in that area shopping at a retail nursery, chances are they would carry it, because they would get their plants from NVK. And otherwise, just ask for it at your local garden center. Ilex glabra compacta. Wonderful plant. Of course, I'll have more to say about it when I see what it looks like over the years. It went into my garden last September, so it's still pretty new for me, but it looks great so far. And so not only does it get white flowers, it gets little black berries. The common name is inkberry. So little black berries, which the birds love.
Okay, so there's a replacement for boxwood ilex, I-L-E-X.
Yep. You got
Excellent. Okay. We have some callers online we better get to before they get discouraged and hang up on us. Dorothy, Dorothy in Hamilton. Good morning. Welcome to the show. Hi, Dorothy.
To both of you.
Thank you.
I'm very concerned about my bulbs that I planted. I've got crocuses, hyacinths, snowdrops, and they're all growing and showing up through the dirt. And so what with the snow, I don't know if I'm doing the right thing. I have no salt on it in the snow, and I'm throwing it onto the flower bed. Am I doing these bulbs any harm, or am I going to lose them because of the bitter cold?
No, it's great. Not only is there a bit of cold, but there should be a lot more cold coming, right? It's still only December. So yeah, no, snow is perfect, because snow, think about what is snow. Snow is a bunch of little flakes that have dropped on the ground, and they're all really odd, irregular shapes. So what happens is, in between those snowflakes that we can't see these details, but there is actual air trapped in snow between all the snowflakes. So when you throw snow onto your garden, you're actually putting air onto the garden, and that air helps to insulate the plants. Just from the extremes, right? The super cold, the super warm. So, no, snow is brilliant. I would definitely. The only things I don't put snow on are broadleaf evergreens, like boxwood I was mentioning. You don't want to put snow on to broadleaf evergreens, but definitely put snow on any other plants.
Oh, I was. I just love my snowdrops, and I know there's the first flower to bloom. And, you know, I was so afraid because they came up, they started growing in November.
Because we had a little bit of cold, and then we had warm. And those poor little bulbs said, oh, it must be spring.
I know. They're very confused.
I know. That weather.
They will not shrivel up and die, though.
No, and they should be fine. You know what? Just green leaves that have emerged, that might frost off a bit, but you should still see plenty of flowers in the spring.
Okay, Owen, thank you so much.
Thank you.
And by the way, I do feed the birds.
Hey, good for you.
All right, and very happy New Year to you both.
Thank you so
and
much.
Stay safe.
That reminds me of a stint that I used to have at CFPL Television in London, and our weather guy back in those days was Tom Bird, and he'd always sign off his weather forecast with, and don't forget to feed the birds. Really cute. Anyway, hey, Maureen in North York online. Good morning, Maureen.
Good morning.
Morning.
Belated Merry Christmas.
Thank you.
And the name of the movie, Frank, first, I'm asking about Amaryllis. The name of the movie is...
Whoops, have you got your radio on there, Maureen? Have you got your radio on? Just turn it down. Oh, okay. Just a little fuzzy reception there.
Let me see. I'll try another part of the living room.
Okay. That's good.
I was looking at the Amaryllis.
There we are. Yep. You're okay now.
Okay. The name of the movie is It's a Wonderful Life.
There you go. Thank you.
And the little girl, Susu, says, teacher says, every time the bell rings, another angel gets its wings.
That's right. Clarence was the name of the angel. Thank you.
Okay, well, now I'll ask, and I love your reindeer's look.
Thank you very much, Maureen.
And, okay. But now to business.
All right.
An amaryllis. Mm-hmm. I got one for Christmas. I've never had one. It's got a great big fat bud. Mm-hmm. Now, I have a tendency to overwater. How often do I water that?
Well, that's a great question. What you're going to do is you're going to keep an eye on it, make sure it's in a sunny window. Turn it every single day or twice a day in the sun. Otherwise, it'll start leaning over. And do not water until the soil is very dry to your finger. So just feel the surface of the soil. Wait till it feels dry. It is easy to overwater amaryllis. So make sure it's in a pot with drainage and ensure that it never, ever sits in water.
Okay. Yeah, I've got it in an east window.
Okay, that's fine. That works.
Okay.
That's good.
And also, can I say something about feeding the birds?
Uh-huh.
Another thing one should do is put out water. I know it will freeze, but you just put it out maybe once or twice a day. Birds are desperate for water in the winter. They'll come and drink it very happily.
Mm-hmm.
And also, squirrels will drink it.
That's a good idea, too. Okay, super.
Well, you know what I have? I have a dog bowl, an electric dog bowl.
Oh.
So, and it's for dogs that are outside in the winter, obviously. And so it's an excellent way to keep water out and thawed. Just a simple, I mean, it plugs in, obviously, to the house, but it's always out there. It's always got water in it.
All righty. Hey, thank you very much for the call, Maureen, and a very happy New Year to you as well. Now, just before we get to more phone calls, I just want to get to one email we have here. Let's see. It says, good morning. I have a few things I started from their pits. Thrilled to say 3 mangoes and 2 additional avocados are all sprouting. I would never attempt this if it wasn't for the new house along Lake Erie with an amazing south-facing window. This, by the way, is from Karen. She says, my plan is to see how long I can keep these things growing, more of a challenge than anything else. I did hear today about the use of the sticky sticks, and I've ordered from Amazon because I had these little flies that I believe started around the mango pit pots. I look forward to eliminating those little pests. Also, since these are mango pits, maybe these are indeed fruit flies. You never know. Anyway, we also did not have any evergreens in our property, so we purchased a potted balsam fir, and it will stay in our not-attached garage. That is a few windows until a few days before Christmas, and take it back outside out a day or so after in order to keep it alive till spring. Thanks for all your great info, and that's from Karen.
Yeah, so that was a good email. She's got a lot going on there, Karen. Cute question about the mango pit pots having little flies and maybe they're fruit flies. So it's cute because, remember, fruit flies are attracted to fruit. So at this point, her little mango pit pots have, I guess they're sprouting, and of course it'll be green, little green plants. So no fruit yet, and frankly, not for a very long time, if ever. So they're not fruit flies. For sure, those are fungus gnats. And yes, it does work. The sticky sticks will help with those little fungus gnats that are flying around. Also, less water, right? Water when dry. Feel the soil. water thoroughly when dry, and let these plants dry down between waterings. And her point about having the live Christmas tree is good as well, that she's only bringing it in briefly and keeping it outside where it's more likely to survive.
Excellent. Okay. Let me remind you of the phone numbers here as we go to our next break. And we'll be back to say hi to Dale, who's patiently waiting on the line there. Phone numbers for The Garden Show and Charlie Dobbin, 416-360-0740. And anywhere in the province, toll free, 1-866-740-4740. Charlie shall return in moments here on Zoomer Radio.
Fur and feathers and bugs of all size. There's more going on in the garden than you realize. Should small creatures become a big problem, then you've got The Garden Show with Charlie Dobbin. Exclusively on Zoomer Radio.
Well, Charlie, let's thank Dale for hanging on that line just around the corner, maybe here in Toronto. Good morning, Dale. Welcome to the show.
Good morning to you both. I forgot it was Saturday, so it was a nice surprise when I turned on the radio. What is this? Anyways, I have another amaryllis question. Mm-hmm. Last Christmas, got an amaryllis. It bloomed. It was beautiful. I put it just the pot in the garden for the summer. And then when I went to get it at the end of the summer, I guess it had too much rain at some point or was under the sprinkler, but the big bulb was mushy.
Oh.
However, around the outside, there were four like little bulbs with shoots. So I took the four little bulbs with shoots and put each one in a pot and then put it in the crawl space for like 8 weeks, maybe, and brought them out. When I brought them out, two of them, they still had green shoots. Two of them, though, the shoots were all dried up and looked, I thought they were supposed to look like. Mm-hmm. So I kept them and put them in the window, and all I have is shoots. So my question is, shall I just give up on these? Do I want to hang on to four pots for another year?
Well, okay, so this, it comes down to your patience level. What you have are immature bulbs. So those are daughters from the main mother bulb. And the, like you said, the main mother turned mushy and went into the composter. The daughters survived. They will bloom eventually, but it will take a couple of years. They have to grow up. Those bulbs have to get bigger and more mature to reach flowering stage. So you, what you did is right. Outside all summer, crawl space for 8 or 10 weeks, back out in the window, you know, the living room window, whatever, for the winter, and then out for the summer. So you got to do that whole cycle for a, might be as many as 3 or 4 years before those bulbs are big enough to flower.
Okay, that's right. Patience.
Yeah,
but I appreciate the information. Thank you very much, and happy New Year.
Thank you very much, Jill.
My pleasure.
Indeed. All righty. Along the QEW, lovely little community called Stony Creek, and that's where Daisy is right now. Good morning, Daisy.
Oh, good morning to you.
Morning.
I'm a frustrated lover of my magnolia.
Mm-hmm.
I have had this magnolia now for roughly 6 years, 6 or 7 years.
Mm-hmm.
And in those 7 years, this frustrating magnolia has only bloomed 1 year, and that would be the first year that I had it. And and it also blooms in the summertime and not in the spring when it's supposed to. So what the devil am I doing wrong?
Well, do you ever prune that plant?
I know. Okay, I have not. Good. I have cut one branch at the top so that it wouldn't shoot up to the top, but I haven't pruned any of the other branches.
Okay, because a magnolia typically will set its flower bulbs in the late summer, early fall. So if you looked out your window right now at the magnolia, you should see on the tips little fuzzy oval-shaped buds, which are next spring's flowers.
Yes.
And they're a little bit furry. And in the spring, of course, they swell. They get bigger and furrier. And then before you know it, they pop open, and there's your flowers in the spring.
That's what it's supposed to do.
Right. So if it's not doing that, I mean, if do you see flower buds on it now?
Yes, there are buds on it, yes.
Yeah. So, you know what? It probably comes down more to environmental spring action. We had a pretty cool, pretty wet spring last year, and the magnolia probably just said, you know what? I'm not opening these flowers because it's just not very nice weather.
Oh.
And so held on to them, till it got warmer in the summer, and then you saw them. And I bet you there's people listening right now who would say, hey, my magnolia was blooming like a month ago because we had that warm spell after we'd had the cold spell. So just like the poor little bulbs coming up early, the poor magnolias were doing the same thing, going, oh, it must be spring, and starting to get ready to pop their blooms. So the plants, it's all good. Like, don't worry that the magnolia is fine. It's just that it is confused by environmental things you can't control.
But over all the 7 years that I've had it?
I know. It's a bit odd that it's over 7 years.
Yeah.
But expect that you will see, you know, as long as there's buds formed at the end of every summer, then you know you've got flowers the following season. Typically, it's spring season. Right. Have you got it in a fairly sunny, open area of your garden?
It's right in the front, and it's got, well, it's exposed to sun all day type of thing.
Okay. Yeah, because that
north
can make a difference.
North facing front yard.
Okay. And is there any other trees or anything in the front yard, or just the magnolia?
Oh, just the center magnolia.
Yeah, the showpiece.
The showpiece that has nothing.
All right, and then when you planted it 6 or 7 years ago. Hopefully you used fairly good soil, good quality soil.
Yes.
And, you know,
yes.
Magnolias, they like a really organic soil. So I'd be getting some composted manure or some homemade compost around the plant every spring.
No, I
fall.
Don't do that. But
yeah,
I do have the lawn fertilized every year. Is that the wrong fertilizer?
Absolutely. The lawn fertilizer feeds the lawn and does not encourage flowering whatsoever on your magnolia.
So
it
that's
encourages
the problem.
Leaves. Yeah.
Okay.
Okay, so make sure that the lawn is not growing right up to the magnolia. So remove
not that.
Lawn.
Yeah, I've got it out about 10 inches, 10 or 12 inches.
Yeah, and you could even make it a little bigger than that if you want, particularly as the magnolia gets bigger.
Yeah.
Make sure you've got mulch in that circle around the magnolia, but the mulch is not touching the magnolia.
Right.
And ensure that whoever's fertilizing your lawn is not getting lawn fertilizer anywhere near the magnolia.
Okay.
And that will make a difference. And ultimately, you could even fertilize the magnolia with a flowering plant fertilizer,
right.
But keep the lawn fertilizer right away.
15-30-15?
Yeah, that's a good one.
And should I... Can I or should I spray the leaves with it also or not?
You can. Just don't do it on a hot, sunny day.
Uh-huh. Okay. All right.
Okay, Annie, we have to kind of move along
right, thank
here.
Thank you.
Okay. Thanks, Bella.
A Merry Christmas and a very, very happy and prosperous New Year.
Thank you very much.
Thank
we
you.
Appreciate
we're all,
that. Believe
we're
me.
All hoping and praying for a better 2021
yeah,
than 2020 was.
We're going in moments to join someone just around the corner, maybe here in Toronto, Annie, on the line to ask a question. But we'll get to that in just a moment after we take our last commercial break of the show.
Daffodils and daisies, bluebells and begonias, forsythia and foxgloves, marigolds, magnolia, lavender and lupins, dahlias, delphiniums, stalks, fox, hollyhocks, tulips and sweet williams.
You've picked the right place for everything floral. This is The Garden Show with Charlie Dobbin, exclusively on Zoomer Radio.
And Charlie, of course, located in Prince Edward County on the phone line, and we've been able to keep this show moving along despite all the technical problems along the way, so much so that we welcome now Annie to the line, maybe just around the corner here in Toronto. Good morning, Annie.
Good morning.
Morning.
Happy holidays.
Thank you.
Thank you.
I am just around the corner almost. I'm just in the... near the Humber River.
Oh, gosh.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
You are close.
Yeah, yeah. I live in a little apartment. I face north. And a sweet neighbor gave me a plant, and I'm not good with names. I think it's called something trumpet, swan trumpet, and it gets really big. Hers does out in her yard. Do you have an idea what I'm talking about? Like, it blooms huge flowers, like an orange or yellow flower.
Well, there is something called trumpet vine, but it does have big, huge flowers. But, oh, I know what it is, what you've got, datura. D-A-T-U-R-A. I'm pretty
okay,
sure. Yeah,
so the,
angel's trumpet.
The stem is about maybe just an inch, half an inch, three-quarters of an inch.
Mm-hmm. So and is it like a tree?
Yeah. It grows thick like a tree.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And I have it in a pot. And the plant next to it, again, I'm not good with names, it looked like a spidery leafy palm. It was a very thin one. Someone threw it away, and I took it, and it took, and it was beautiful. I put this other plant in it, and it was doing beautiful. She told me not to water it a lot, and then all of a sudden, this white stuff was growing on the trunk, and it was like not a pus, but like a foam, a white foam, and it went on to the other plant and killed it.
Ooh.
And so I cut this thing back, and no matter what I do, it keeps growing back.
Which
and
the
so
white
now
stuff the
what I want to do is I think I want to get it out of there, and I want to plant my jades, three baby jades, which are getting too big for the pot. But I'm worried if I put them in that pot, that white, is it in the soil? Will it contaminate the jade?
Yeah, it could be. Is the angel's trumpet still alive?
Yeah, it's growing a new little shoot at the bottom. Like everything else is dead at the top.
Right. So I would let. So is it probably a pretty big pot? It was probably a pretty.
Yeah,
big
it's
plant.
One of those big Chinese beautiful pots, and I had trouble aerating it, like letting the water come out. So I've lifted it up. Mm-hmm. The water comes out, and I've got stones in the bottom, but the soil wants to stay wet.
Mm. And where did that soil come from? Is that something you bought yourself? Or?
Yeah, like it's those little potted bags with the white little styrofoamy things inside.
Right. Yeah, hopefully that's not styrofoam. Hopefully that's actually perlite. All right. So, you know what? It's one of those things where you not all potting mixes are made equal. So it could be that it just wasn't a very good quality potting mix. The oozing coming out of the plant is never a good sign. It could be a disease from the plant, or it could actually just be fungus inside the soil that's causing, you know, some what we call exudate. So I would not plant anything else into that soil. I would leave that soil just for that plant. And if you wish, this coming spring or summer, would be to pull that plant out of that soil, you know, wash off or brush off as much of it as you can, eliminate that, just, you know, out into the organic garbage, and then get yourself some fresh,
good quality
potting mix is what I would do. And to bring a jade or another plant into your house, again, I'd be getting fresh soil, fresh pots.
And for jade, do I need anything special soil? Because right now I've just been using always those, I just go buy those little bags and I just bring them home. Is that okay for the jade?
It is, but if you can find, wherever you're shopping, if you can find a potting mix that will say right on it,
for cactus,
it will have some extra sand in it. Or you could add some sand or some very fine gravel to just a regular potting mix, just because you want to make sure it's well-drained. You don't want it to be a soggy soil when
I have some beach sand, because I do sort of some arty things, could I mix some beach sand in it?
You can if it's a fairly large granular sand. If it's a really, really fine sand, like almost like a play box kind of play sand, I wouldn't use that.
Okay,
you need something
that's
got some chunkiness.
So that wouldn't work. No, thank you. I've been meaning to call for so long because I thought, I don't know whether I should. I feel like I'm murdering this plant if I let it die, because it keeps wanting to come back. So I thought, let it go.
Yeah,
that it killed the other one. I feel sad for the other one.
Yeah, exactly. So,
but,
and you're,
no,
and you're not
helpful,
in an optimal
and I love,
situation.
And you love the show, all the programs. Thank you so much. I appreciate it.
Our pleasure. Okay. And you know, just as a quick thought more for Annie, north facing isn't optimal for many tropical plants. She might, if she can get something set up with some supplemental lighting. You know, a simple grow light might help with some of those sun-loving plants.
Okay. We're just about out of time here, my gosh.
I see that. How'd that happen?
Well, I don't know. I wasn't expecting so many phone calls, to be honest with you. And
really?
I was pleasantly surprised. Let me just recommend something here. I was given a gift by my oldest son, Kelly, whom you know.
Mm-hmm.
He gave me a Peter Mansbridge book, a new book called Extraordinary Canadians. And it is terrific. Just ordinary Canadians do extraordinary things. And I've just finished the first section. And I highly recommend it. It's just wonderful. Very fulfilling, you know.
Yeah, it sounds uplifting.
Yes, indeed. That's exactly the word I was looking for.
Which is what we need. We really too easy to be down in the dumps with all this isolation and
yeah, you got it, Charlie.
Stuff.
Well, listen, you have a wonderful New Year. What are you doing for New Year's Eve? Anything special?
I think I'll open a bottle of bubbly and drink it all by myself.
There you go. That's my girl. Good for you. Okay, me too.
Well,
I'll have
Frank.
To share it with Shirley. There
hugs.
You go.
Yeah, exactly. Well, I would share it with Elliot, but Elliot doesn't like bubbly.
Oh, is that right? Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, so that's why I have to drink it by myself.
Well, Carlos, thank you so much for all your hard work in that control room. Bless
your
heart.
Yeah, keeping it all together for us, Carlos. You're a good guy. Thank you. And Frank, have a wonderful New Year's, and thanks for all your help and for holding down the show where you are there at Zoomerplex. I appreciate all your help, and I'll be talking to all of you again next week.
Thank you, Charlie.
This has been an exclusive podcast of The Garden Show with Charlie Dobbin. Heard every Saturday morning at 9 on Zoomer Radio, the new AM 740. This podcast is proudly produced and presented by the Zoomer Podcast Network, home of great podcasts like Marilyn Lightstone Reads, Idea City on the Air, and The Garden Show.